Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 40. And let me make a note. I am sure you all see the quiz in your bulletin. Next week we're going to have a quiz. And please do not be intimidated if you look at those questions. They're about 35 questions. Please do not be intimidated by the quiz. We promise you, you will have a great time next week learning that information. We're all going to learn it together. It's all going to be a dynamic quiz. Take the questions home. Study the questions. Everyone here that was last time had a great time with the quiz. Let's say amen. So don't worry that, I don't know any of this stuff. One, I'm giving you the answer, so go home and study it. Practice with somebody, with your kids, with your husband. But even if you don't get it, which you will, it's not hard, next week you will get it. I promise you, okay? I promise you. So don't not come because you don't get. No one's going to call you out. It's going to be a group thing. So, and actually, I see the people standing in the back. We have seats. If you have a seat next to you, just raise your hand. We got seats over here. Seats over here. Everyone's got seats next to them. Hey, why don't we all stand up there and squeeze in? Let's real quick. Just stand up so we can get people in and squeeze towards the middle. Just towards the middle. Everyone's towards the middle. Make it easy. Here we go. Good. Very good. Everyone say very good.
Very good.
Very good. Say thank you for making room. Okay, look to the person next to you and say I love you. You do. I knew it. We are going through a strategic planning process on staff. We call it developing our MAPS, M-A-P, Ministry Action Plan. What that consists of is everyone developing a purpose statement for each ministry. What is the purpose of your ministry? And then we go through a SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You list all your strengths, all your weaknesses, all your opportunities, all your threats. Then you develop objectives to address those issues. And then you develop strategies to fulfill the objectives and budgets to go with that. It's a long process. If you know have a business, you probably went through this. And if you didn't, you probably should. And so as we're going through this, we have a map for Sunday morning. In other words, how do we accomplish what we want to accomplish on Sunday morning? So we're in the meeting, and the woman who was facilitating the meeting asked the question, what is an ideal Sunday morning look like? In other words, what would you like to accomplish on Sunday morning? So we started listing all these things. We would like people to be, you know, to learn, we want people to get saved, we want people to be comfortable, we want people to feel secure, we want people to know where to go, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Matter of fact, that's why I introduced myself, so people can know who I am. Some of you, most of you do because you come here, but there's visitors here who, you know, who's the guy in the purple shirt? I'm Miles. And so we started talking about all these things, and then one of the things that came on the list was, we want people to experience God. We don't want to do all those things and get people in and out, hurt them in, grow, get big, and miss God. We never wanted to do that. But as we were going through this list, it kind of like, let's remind ourselves why we're here. We had 3,000 people our first day of church 4.5 years ago. That was the biggest church plant ever in history of America, as far as we were told by church history people in America. Really, some people who just study churches and they told us that was the biggest, well, as far as we know. Now, what that means is that to whom much is given, much is required. What that means to us is that God says, I have something for you to do. There's no reason to brag about that, and believe me, I have never bragged about that in my heart. It's more of a responsibility. So having a lot of people is not the point. If that was the point, we could stop right here. We don't need to grow anymore. We just stay right here in this place and just do church as usual, and you don't have to do anything. That's not why we're here, though. We're here so people can experience God. Now, our goal is to evangelize San Diego. It's one of our goals. It's evangelize San Diego. Matter of fact, we're going to do a series in January on stewardship, but we're going to start with what the purpose of the church is, who we are, what our vision statement is, and part of our vision statement is to evangelize San Diego. That means to give every individual in San Diego an opportunity to be saved. That is our goal. We want this city to be transformed. This city is going away from God. Our country is going away from God. And we are here to say, no, 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 that's wrong. We need to go this way. But the only way that's going to happen is if God himself does something. We can't do it. We are a vehicle. We are a tool. God, we are kind of, God flows through us. He has chosen people to represent him on this earth. But it's him. But we have to experience God first. And so what I want to do is talk about that today, because when we're in the book of Exodus, and as we get to the end of the book of Exodus, we see God's glory. Now, let's do a little review. Moses, we know Moses had a conversation with talking fire. God told him, go back to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh and let my people go. So Moses goes up to Pharaoh, he talks to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says no. So God says, I'm going to send 10 plagues on you. So he made the river Nile blood. He sent frogs on the land. Him a frog's coming, and then he sent hail on him as a plague, and there were 10 plagues. Last plague, the Discovery Channel had a whole show on this last night. Yeah, if you saw that, they think they found the firstborn son of the Pharaoh of the Exodus, the mummy of him. So it's a whole other story, but it was Morgan Freeman was the narrator. It was fascinating. But anyway, God did all this stuff, and then the people were let go. The Exodus happened. They walked through the Red Sea, and they walked all the way down to Mount Sinai. And out Mount Sinai, Moses goes on top of the mountain. He receives the Ten Commandments. And the design for the tabernacle, they take an offering, they build the tabernacle, and all that was done just so the people can have a lot of money and nice houses. Amen? No. No amen on that. No men. That was done so the people can experience God. So people can worship God. So after they got the design of the tabernacle, they got the design of the high priest, we saw that last week, and the dress he had on, and the clothes he had on. If you didn't see it, go on the internet, you could see, we had a rabbi here, Rabbi Dan Braham, Stolenstein was here, from the Rock Shabbat Temple down the street, and he had the stuff on, it's on our internet, you can go see the service last week. God gave Moses all of that just so the people could experience him. Now look at chapter 40, the last chapter of Exodus, the last few verses, verses 33 to 35. Look what it says. It says, he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work, and the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Everyone say, the glory of the Lord. You want to experience the glory of God. You don't want to come to church to listen to me, to meet people, to sing songs. You want to come to experience God. Hopefully all those things contribute to that, and to the degree they don't, we need to fix that. But you want to experience God. If I wanted to be an entertainer, I wouldn't be a pastor. Doesn't mean it can't be entertaining. But our purpose is to help you experience God. You want to want that. You have to want that. You have to come to church every Sunday, no matter what baggage you got. Issues, frustrations, you had a fight with your wife this morning because she wasn't on time like you wanted her to be. You needed to help her then to get on time. Because there goes the guy sitting in the car. Come on, honey, she's getting three kids all by herself. Whatever you, man, we got some issues over here somewhere. I ain't going to say nothing. Some of y'all need to get, right? I've been there. But you want to come to church and say, God, I need to experience you. Not get through the sermon, pastor, like, go home. You get home plenty of time to see the game. You want to experience God. It's four things I want to look at. Four things that are required for us as a church to enable people to experience God. Now, let me say this. There are people here for the first time. There are some people here possibly who have never been to church, right here, right now. I met a couple guys at the men's thing yesterday morning, never been to church. the way they're going to experience God is if all of us participate in that. This city, there are people in this city who hate God. They don't have anything to do with God, but we want them to experience God before they die. We all have to work together on that. Okay? This is not Miles' job. This is not Miles' church. It's Jesus Christ's church, and it's all of our jobs. So you may come from another church where you have that baggage in your mind. Please get rid of it. This God has called all of us and given all of us the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. All of us. And if we're going to impact this city and world, we have to take the responsibility of ourselves upon our shoulders to do our part. Four things. Your notes. Number one, God's glory follows the faithful efforts of one, a leader willing to lay his life on the line for the people. Moses was willing to lay his life on the line for the people. Now, who is that leader? It starts with me. It starts with the pastors, and it goes all the way down to all the other leadership in the church. You got to lay your life down. You have to lay your life down for your neighbor. Who lives next to you in your apartment building, your condo building, on your block? You have to be willing to say, God, what do you want me to do that they may experience you? Now, some of you may have attitude, ain't no way. Well, guess what? You got a long way to go in your faith. Because God has called you to lay your life down just like he laid his life down. What does that mean? That if you have to swallow your pride because your neighbor's playing loud music all night and go over there and say, you know what, I want to invite you to church even though you irritate me every day. That's what it means. Christianity is not, I'm going to do good to those who do good to me. I'm going to love those who treat me good. That is not the gospel. The gospel says, I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to bless those who curse me. That's laying down your life. So it starts with moi, and then it goes to nya. Let's look at chapter 32. Chapter 32. Let me give you a little context. Moses goes up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. They don't know where he's at. And they say, you know what? We need a God to worship. And so what they did is they took the earrings off, and they put it in the fire, and they made a gold calf. And look what it says in verse 23. Let's start there. In verse 23, chapter 32, it says, this is Aaron, his brother, speaking. They said to me, make us gods that we may go before, that may go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. He's spending too much time praying. He's not down here with us today. You know, it's amazing how the leader never does what the people want. They're never happy. Because that's not his job. His job is to please God. He's up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And they say, where's he at? Forget him. And here's what they do. In verse 24, he says, I said to them, whoever has gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. They worship the gold calf. Moses goes up, 40 days, comes out with the Ten Commandments, and he sees them worshiping a golden calf, a cow, one of the Egyptian gods. So they made a gold one. They said, it just came out by itself. Walked out. And they said, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. Listen to what they're saying, friends. This golden God is what delivered us. Some of you may be worshiping the same gold calf. You may think it's your money that got you where you're at. You may think it's your intelligence, your connections, your family, your good looks, your charisma that got you what you got. Your hard work, that's what got you what you got. And in turn, you worship those things instead of God. You're giving credit to everything else but God for what you have today, for who you are, for your status. The same sin is what they're doing. You're just as guilty. It wasn't God that brought me out of the womb. Do you know how you got out of the womb? You don't. You spent 40 weeks submerged in water in your mother's womb. Supernaturally, God brought you out, raised you as a child, gave you abilities, talents, opportunities, and here you are today. God did all of that. God gave you the ability to work. He gave you the propensity and the desire to work. He gave you the discipline to work, and probably none of us have used it to our maximum potential. But yet we give credit to other things. Same thing. So God says, I'm going to kill these people, Moses. make a long story short, I'm killing them because I'm tired of them complaining. I'm tired of them worshiping other things. And I know it sounds funny, but it's true. They're complaining there's no water, there's no food, and we're going to worship this gold calf. And God says, I'm done, I'm through, I'm killing them. And look what Moses says in verse 31. Verse 31, Moses says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, all these people have continued a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. God, please, please give them another chance. Are you pleading for the life of somebody else? Or are you pleading for the wealth of your own self, the happiness of your own? Is it all about you? The very first sermon we did in Moses in Exodus was It Ain't About You, Mo. That was the title. It was two parts. It ain't about you, Mo. You know, your life ain't about you. It's about Jesus Christ and how he wants to use you. It ain't about gimme, gimme, gimme. And Moses says, the Bible says, was the most humble man in the world. And you know what Moses says? Lord, please give him another chance. Please take it out on me. It wasn't Moses' fault. But that's how humble he was. Oh, Lord, I pray I can get there. I pray I can get there. And I pray you would want to get there. I pray you would say, Lord, I don't want to live for me. I want to live for you. What do you want me to do to you? What do you want me to die to myself? My attitude, my selfishness. How do you want me to make a sacrifice for your kingdom? Because it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. And the people who you work with, work out with, walk by at 24-hour fitness, wherever you go, it's about how God wants to use you in their life. We collected I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'll get to that story in a minute. Number two. It requires a group of people willing to submit to the will of God. A group of people willing to submit to the will of God. Chapter 33, God told Moses he was going to kill the people. And look what it says in verse 1. Let's look at verse 1 first. It says, the Lord said to Moses, chapter 33, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 2, I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, uptight and out of sight. Verse 3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Basically, go ahead and by yourself, I'm tired of y'all. You are stiff-necked, bull-headed, hard-headed, complaining and whining. I'm going to kill you. Verse 4. When the people heard this bad news, they mourned and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst and in one moment consume you. Now therefore take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments on Mount Oreb. God says, look, take off your ornaments and obey me so I can know whether I should kill you or not. I can kill you in 1 second. You know God can kill you right now? And you know God has a right to kill you right now? I was listening to these two guys debate Christianity, and the atheist says, I can never worship God who kills people. God made you. He can kill you. He can. You're going to die. You will die. If you went out there and made a car, you can take that car apart. If you went out and made a piece of clothing, you can tear that clothing apart. God made you. He can kill you. And God said, in one moment, I can kill all these people, 3 million people. Tell them to take off their ornaments, all the stuff they're worshiping, and then I'll know what I should do. And look what the Bible says in verse 4. And when the people heard the bad news, no one put on its ornaments, and then they took them all off, blah, 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 blah. They took them off. I just read that. They said, Lord, here we are. You know what? First, leaders have to lay down their life. Then the people have to submit to God. If we really want God to do something through our church in an amazing way, which is the reason we exist, we have to submit to God. If you don't submit to God, you can't expect his blessing. Don't expect to do what you want to do and God bless you. That's not the rules. The rules is you come to Christ and you surrender yourself to him. And you say, God, I want to experience you. And I want to do whatever you want me to do. And then he blesses you. That's the game. The other game that the world says is that God loves me, accepts me the way I am, and I can do whatever I want. He's going to bless me. That's not the Bible. That's secular humanism. That's meism. The Bible says you submit to Christ because you're a sinner and you basically don't know what you're doing. We don't know what we're doing. We're nothing but people. God is above us. And we want to experience God. And to experience God, we got to lay down our life and submit to God and say, God, whatever you want me to do. Now, you can go to churches that don't preach that. You will miss the blessing of God. You will miss the blessing of God. These people had to submit because if they didn't, he was going to kill them. And we're going to see later on, when we get to the book of Numbers, that he killed them anyway. Why? Because they went into the promised land. They spied it out for 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. And they came back and said, the land is just what God said, but we can't go in because there's giants in the land. I'm giving you a whole other sermon in the Reader's Digest version. And God said, because you spied it out for 40 days and you don't believe me, I'm going to make you walk for 40 years until all of you die. That's why they walked for 40 years. It wasn't a 40-year journey. It wasn't. And so God killed them. He judged them. God requires you to submit to him for you to experience his full blessing and for other people to experience his blessing. Because how are people going to see God in you if you're not submitted to God? You know, I pray with a group of football players every week after practice at the Chargers. And I know some of the guys in that circle ain't living for God. And I said to them one Sunday, I said, fellas, you know, we pray every Thursday, at least when I go there. I assume you guys pray every day. Then you go, Jesus. I says, what do you think the guys who are walking in the locker room now who know you get high, know you get drunk, know you sleep around, are sitting here praying? What are they thinking about you and what are they thinking about God? You guys got to submit to God or you're just wasting your time. Matter of fact, you're doing Christianity a disservice. Don't pray. Just go get high. And then when you realize getting high and sleeping around ain't going to satisfy you, then come pray. But don't do both because God ain't stupid. God's not, oh, they're praying, okay, well, I'll forget everything else. No. You get on your knees to say, God, here I am. I want to experience you. I want to honor you in my life, and I'm willing to submit to you. I'm willing to obey you because that's the only way, the only way, the only way. Everyone say only way.
Only way.
It's the only way you can love God is to obey him. 1 John 5:3, you can read it yourself. It's to obey God, it's to love God. Number three, a group. God's glory will follow faithful efforts of a group of people willing to give sacrificially to the work of God. Sacrificially. Here we go. They want my money. No, we don't want your money. Keep your money if you don't want to give it. Please. We don't want your grudgingly giving. We want you to give because you want to give. We want you to give because you honor God with what you have. We want you to give because you realize what you got is really God's. And you realize that a blessing comes with giving. A blessing comes with obedience. Let's read. We got a few verses here. Now, first let me give you a little context. When they left Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians. What does that mean? They went to all the Egyptians' houses and said, give me your gold, give me your silver, give me your bronze, give me your clothing, give me your nice materials, and they took it all. And watch this. They're walking around the desert with all this stuff in their pockets and no more to go spend it in. They got gold, silver, and they're looking around going, we can't even spend this stuff. It has no value. Isn't it amazing how the things we have no value really to make us really happy permanently? It's all temporary. Look what it says. Christmas is getting ready to come up. You remember Christmas as a kid? You get toys the day of Christmas, and the next day, it's broke. Or a week later, Mommy, I want another one. I don't like this one. But the day you get it, oh, my life has changed. But then it fades. It's not lasting. So they got all these materials. Look at chapter 35, verse 4. I want you to notice how many times I say willing. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you, saying, take from among you an offering. Everyone say offering.
Offering.
Key word with offering is willing. Whoever is of a willing heart, I want to help. I want to give. Let him bring an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, bronze, purple, blue, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, skin, ram skin, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod of the breastplate. And all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. Where'd they get all that stuff? They took it from the Egyptians. Where'd you get all the stuff you got? God gave it to you. No, I worked for it. God gave you the job. No, I worked hard. God gave you the ability. No, I had a desire. God gave you the desire. No, I had talent. God gave you the talent. And you say, well, no, that's not true. Well, tell God he can't take any of those things from you. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. And he can take it. I did a chapel for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night, and Ronnie Lott's son is on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he's a Christian, very humble guy. Last year, he was a free agent. He wasn't drafted out of UCLA, and this is his third year. So the first year, I think he was hurt. Last year, he started every game at linebacker, and this year, he lost his job to another guy. They drafted another guy and gave him and lost the job. And the chaplain was telling me his attitude is so great. He had a job, then he lost his starting job. Still on the team. That's life. You have and you don't have. The question is, what do you do when that happens? And his attitude is great. He has a Christian radio show in Tampa. He loves God. He's all committed. Because it's not about whether he plays or doesn't play. It doesn't matter whether he makes millions or he works at the gas station. It's about God. And so God gave all these people this, and then he says, I want to take an offering. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 21. Let's look at verse 20. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of God, and everyone who came, whose heart was stirred, everyone say heart was stirred. Everyone whose spirit was willing, say spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for all the holy garments. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says all the women's, it says all the women's hearts was stirred with wisdom spun yarn hair, yarn for goat, spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and spices for the oil of the light, for the anointing oil, for sweet incense. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a free will, say free will, offering to the Lord, and all the men and women whose hearts were stirred were willing to bring material to all kinds of work of the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. Chapter 36, verse 1. And Bazael and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to do the work of all manner of work of service for the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord had commanded. Verse 2. Moses called Bazael and Aholiab and every gifted artisan whose heart the Lord put wisdom and everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses an offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings. Free will offerings. Every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from every work was doing. And they spoke to Moses saying, the people bring too much, much more than enough for the service of the work of the Lord that commanded us. Verse 6, Moses gave a command, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout all the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, for the people are restrained from bringing for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, even too much. Do you know that the average church tithes 3%? The average church tithes 10%, they'd have no money problems. And it says here that everybody had a willing heart, gave. Now, the Bible tells you what you should do, but you have to have a willing heart to do it. The Bible tells you to pray without ceasing. The Bible says to read the word every day, to memorize scripture, to plant it in your heart that you may not sin against it. Do you do that? If you do it, you bless. If you don't, you're not blessed. The Bible says to give. If you give it, you bless. If you don't, if you hoard to yourself, you're not blessed. It's very simple formula. You do what the Bible says, but do it with a willing heart. Don't feel like, well, they're trying to manipulate you. We're not trying to manipulate you. We're just telling you the facts. Do what you want to do. God's purpose is going to happen. But how it happens is going to depend on how many people get involved and what people do. If everybody sits around and waits for one person to do it, it's going to take a long time, and that person will die. What What did Moses' father tell him? If you sit there and counsel everybody, you will die. And what you are trying to do and counsel everybody is not good. Get other people to help. We all have to do our part. And so these people gave sacrificially. Is it a sacrifice? Yes. 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 When we do our fast next January, next month, 2 weeks. So 3 week fast. We encourage you to do fruit and vegetables, drink them or eat them. But you may say, I don't want to do that. I want to just do TV. Maybe I'm pregnant. I can't. Fine. Do something. Some of you are going to go through a coffee fast. And some of you are going to realize that you are chemically addicted to caffeine. Caffeine is one of the most addictive drugs in the world. And don't think that every time you go in Starbucks, and I'm not against Starbucks at all. I'm not against drinking coffee at all. Because coffee, I like the taste of coffee. I drink it maybe 5 times a year. That's it. But caffeine is an addictive drug that is not good for you healthily, in your health. It's not good for your health. And if you go on this fast and if you stop drinking coffee, you will know the first day, some of you, that you are going through a detox program. For real. And you may think, well, that's not like any other. Oh, it's not good for you. It's dehydrating your body. And other things, bad things is for you. All I'm telling you is that when you go through the fast, it is a sacrificial act. You are going to sacrifice the pleasure of your coffee. You're going to sacrifice the pleasure, and you're going to sacrifice going through discomfort, because no matter what you fast, whether you drink coffee or not, you are going to go through discomfort by not eating for 3 weeks or whatever it is you do. Don't watch TV for 3 weeks other than the football games, but other than that, you don't watch TV. No, you know, we don't want to really get that spiritual. Hey, I mean, you know, I'm saying, wait till February to do that fast. Let's read on, because I don't want to get too close to God. No, but I'm only kidding. But my point is that you are going to have to make a sacrifice. It's not about doing what is comfortable. It's about doing what is obedient. You don't have to like everything God calls you to do. I benefit and receive joy from everything God calls me to do, but I don't enjoy it all the time. I don't enjoy people lying about me, lying about my family, stabbing me in the back. I don't enjoy that. But I love God getting me through that. And I know it's part of it. And so be it. So you don't have to enjoy everything. But let me tell you something. It will purify your heart. And I know even those situations I don't enjoy are good for me. So I say, thank you, God. Because I cannot complain and say God's not doing me right, because God has done me way right. Next one. A group, in order for God's glory to be experienced, it follows the efforts of a group of people willing to work together to build God's house. Work together to build God's house. Chapter 39. Verse 42. Please read those other verses from 32 to 43 later on. But verse 42, it says, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Moses looked all over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just as they had done it, and Moses blessed them. God told Moses with crystal clarity, do this, 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 this. The Bible says all the people worked together. They submitted to God. They gave sacrificially. They worked and used all their skills and talents and did this. And God said, very good. God is not here to let us do whatever we want to do and say, okay, I'll bless that. No. God says, I want you to do this. And one of the things he's called us to be is an evangelistic church. He's called us to challenge people. He's called us to share our faith. And he's called all of us to do this. He's called us to get our hands dirty in ministry. Go downtown and share your faith with some homeless people. Go to Tijuana, share with your neighbor, share with your family. He has not called us to sit and listen to the pastor give a nice, entertaining sermon. For just so people can experience the glory of God. Let's all bow our heads for prayer, and I want you to listen very closely to what I'm going to say, because our time is out. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to know you. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity to experience you. And as I'm praying and as the music will be playing in a minute, some of you here today, Christian, non-Christian, don't matter, you may say, Lord, I want to experience more of you in my life. I really, really do. I realize you've given me opportunities. You give me blessings. And I know that an obedient life starts with an experience with God. So as I'm praying, if you want us to pray for you, you want to just come forward and walk away from your old life, you want to recommit yourself to the Lord, you may want to accept Christ as your Savior for the first time. Maybe you just need prayer. Just eyes closed, heads bowed, just get up out of your seat and come down to the altar. Take a kneel down right here at the altar on a nice new carpet. Nice and soft for your knees. God bless you. God bless you. Just get up out of your seat between you and God, eyes closed, heads bowed. And God is saying, please come to me. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to manipulate you. I want you to come with a willing heart. I want you to give your life to me with a willing heart. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Some of you come here all the time. This may be a chance for you to get up out of your comfort zone. Don't worry about what people are going to think about why you're coming down. That's none of their business. This is between you and God. Just get up out of your seat. Come on down to the altar. Some of you, small group facilitators, yeah, you may have your act together, but God may want you to walk out of your comfort zone just to come down so he can bless you some more. Get up out of your seat. Come on down and surrender your life to Jesus in a fresh way, in a new way. Take it to another level. By coming down, you're saying, God, I want more of you. Prepare my heart. The Bible says Ezra purposed in his heart to seek the Lord. Seek the law of the Lord to teach its statutes and its ordinances, Israel. He prepared his heart to do it, to teach it, to live it. Purpose in your heart today to be a godly person. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. Good. God bless all of you. Lord, as we people come down, I pray you bless them. I pray, Lord, that you would touch them in a special way. I pray that you set them free. Lord, I pray you set them free. I pray, God, that you would take their marriages to another level, take their relationship with you to another level. Lord, I pray you anoint their prayer life, their time in the Word. Lord, bless them. Honor, you say in 1 Samuel 2:30 that those who honor you, you will honor. Those who don't honor you will not be esteemed highly. Lord, I pray you honor these people who are honoring you right now. They're on their knees begging for mercy. Begging for mercy. Lord, bless them. Anoint their life. Anoint their life. And Lord, I pray for this church. We've already reached mega church status and size. You gave that to us day one, so that's not a preoccupation. It's not a goal. Now we need to have a mega impact. But we can only do that if we submit ourselves to. We can only do that if we live sacrificial, humble, servant lives. May we do that. May we do that. Lord, teach me how to do that better. Teach us all how to do that better. Lord, thank you for all these people. Thank you for their faith. Thank you for their courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all you who are down here, we're going to ask you real briefly. Where's my prayer team? Okay. We're going to ask all y'all to get up real quick and just follow that guy real quick. We have a room. We want to just pray with you. Let's get them out before anybody leaves. Real swiftly, just walk that way. Let's get them out. And then, amen. And as they're walking out, just walk this way. As they're walking out, I just want to encourage y'all. Very simple. Everyone do this. What does that say? 10. It's not a trick. Everyone say 10. Just spend, if you can, 10 minutes today. And try to do it before the game starts, because then before you know it, the day will be over. 10 minutes in complete silence. Pen and paper and Bible. Take your pen out. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to your wife, your parents, your pastor. You can lie to God. But this don't lie. Put this on paper. Just like this. Put it on the paper. So when it moves, it leaves a line. And say, God, speak to me. Don't lift it up. Say, God, speak to me. 10 minutes. And whatever comes to your mind, whatever, just write it. Don't worry about it, what it is. Just write it. 10 minutes. Try that. Let's sing a song.